Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, December 20th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Governor Sean Parnell's recent budget proposal does not include money for any Southeast Alaska hydro projects, including Sitka's Blue Lake project. But he says he still believes hydro is the solution to the region's high energy costs. At Thursday's Juneau Chamber of Commerce luncheon, Parnell was asked what his administration was doing to bring low-cost energy to the region. He pointed to past support for hydro projects and said Southeast is blessed to have them. But with less oil money, Parnell said he was forced to give other projects a higher priority.
Because revenues are down, we're going to look at those projects that we've already got underway and try to feed them to the next phase towards conclusion before we start new projects. That's the nature of where we are today. But I have left room in this budget for legislators to bring forward their districts' priorities.
Parnell urged the audience to bring specific projects to their legislators and have them work with his office to include them in the capital budget. The governor met with community leaders in Sitka in October who asked for $18.5 million to complete the Blue Lake Hydro expansion project. He also told reporters that he met with Sitka Senator Bert Stedman about such projects. Parnell's $1.7 billion capital budget proposal is about a third smaller than the spending plan approved by lawmakers during this year's legislative session. Meanwhile, at Wednesday's Chamber of Commerce luncheon in Sitka, Gary White, executive director of the Sitka Economic Development Association, or SEDA, discussed plans to make Sawmill Cove Industrial Park more accessible to larger vessels, a step that could bring much-needed outside dollars to Sitka. Mentioning a projected loss in cruise ship passenger volume, 69% since 2008, White cautioned that Sitka needs to focus on developing prime industries, those outside of Sitka that bring in money, as well as supporting local business.
Kind of what Sitka's problem is right now is that we've lost a lot of the prime industry. We're not growing compared to our spending, and the bucket's getting empty.
Among the projects under SEDA's management, White says the Sawmill Cove Industrial Park remains a huge asset. He says it's the largest commercial industrial property available for development in Sitka and supports 53 full-time and 380 summer employees. White says that the park is nearly full, housing a variety of businesses, a net and storage facility, a tannery, the Fortress of the Bear, a fish hatchery, and Silver Bay Seafoods. With the largest amount of real estate in the park, Silver Bay Seafoods is a major taxpayer in Sitka. True Alaska Water suspended its bottling operations at Sawmill Cove Industrial Park in 2008, but has since placed full emphasis on the sale of bulk water. White sees this as a promising outlet for future economic development in Sitka. He says Chinese buyers were interested in purchasing True Alaska Water in bulk, but the transportation costs were too high to reasonably export the water.
So kind of some of the actions that we're working on right now is as part of our overall conceptual planning study, we're looking at how we can put infrastructure in the water that will accept a large tanker ship to come in. We're not going to build it, but we're going to have it designed and ready to go in the event that it does happen, and then we can work on trying to find the capital to do so in conjunction with our investors.
White says SEDA's next big project is to develop the infrastructure to accommodate larger vessels. Using Federal Highway Administration funding, the board plans to conduct a feasibility study, specifically how Sitka could accommodate a larger vessel moorage facility.
A lot of these boats that show up for the herring fishery and the salmon fishery, these larger tender boats, they're kind of wondering why they live down in Puget Sound and drive up here to work. Could they stay here? And could they get their work done here? If we put larger boats here, can they be serviced here? And can we service the part of the fleet that cannot be serviced at our existing haul out? Our existing haul out, Hallow Point Marina, has a capacity, I believe, of 88 tons. And so if you have a vessel larger than that, you're not getting hauled out there. You have to leave the community, which is money that leaves the community.
The study began in August. Consultants from Northern Economics teamed up with engineers to weigh the economic benefits of building a new haulout. This is the same team that conducted a similar study in Wrangell and Cordova. White says both cities now have successful haulouts. The board hopes to present an initial draft to the public in January and plans to make a final decision on what action to take in February. Earlier this year, the telecom giant GCI moved into a new line of business, buying 3 television stations in Sitka, Juneau, and Anchorage. It turns out those purchases were just the beginning. This month, GCI announced plans to buy 3 more TV stations in Southeast Alaska. As KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports, if approved, the deal could mark a new era in Alaska media.
GCI plans to buy all 3 CBS affiliates in Southeast Alaska. That's KTNL in Sitka, KXLJ in Juneau, and KUBD in Ketchikan. The announcement comes just weeks after GCI won federal approval to take over the 2 NBC affiliates in Southeast, KSCT in Sitka and KATH in Juneau, as well as KTVA, the CBS affiliate in Anchorage. The newest deal must be approved by the Federal Communications Commission. If it is, GCI will own most of the commercial television stations in Southeast Alaska. Operating broadcast stations represents a totally new business for GCI.
GCI has traditionally been in the pipeline business.
David Morris is a corporate vice president and GCI spokesman.
Which essentially means we were transporting either people's phone calls or internet or cable TV.
GCI is the state's largest cable TV operator and also provides internet, telephone, and cell phone service. In other words, until now, they ran the plumbing. The purchases this fall represent the company's first major foray into what runs through that plumbing. Content. Morris says the company hopes to leverage its technical expertise, dominant infrastructure, and deep pockets to transform how Alaskans consume media.
That's the vision, is to be able to access information when you want it and where you want it.
That might mean eventually being able to access all GCI content on your TV, computer, or phone on demand.
The thinking is, if you've got a video on demand product, if you get home at 6:15, and you want to watch the news from the beginning, you can actually just go to your video on demand and back it up to start of the news. If you see your kid on there on the news and you want to see them again and again, you could back it up to the video on demand type things.
Morris says GCI's first step will be to convert programming on its stations to high definition. So far, however, GCI's purchase has meant a programming change for customers across Alaska.
From Alaska's news source, this is the Channel 2 News Late Edition.
On December 7th, viewers across Southeast lost access to Channel 2 News, the state's highest-rated television news program. Sitka resident Sabra Jenkins is among those frustrated by the change.
I've gotten to depend on it. Now that I don't have it, I'm really seriously thinking about not keeping my TV anymore.
Channel 2 News is produced by Anchorage NBC affiliate KTUU. It was carried on KSCT in Sitka and KATH in Juneau before GCI purchased those stations. For months, GCI has been locked in a fight with KTUU over the terms of carrying Channel 2 programming on the stations as well as on GCI cable. Now, KTUU's morning and evening news shows, about 22 hours of programming each week, are no longer broadcast in Southeast. In early November, when the two companies could not agree on a contract, GCI also took Channel 2 off cable in several parts of rural Alaska, leaving about 7,000 viewers with no NBC programming at all, except what's carried on the state-operated channel known as ARX. The disagreement centers on what would happen if KTUU ever acquired another station. GCI says KTUU's demands would double the cost of carrying their signal. KTUU says the cable company is trying to limit its future growth. Some say there's a larger issue at stake. KTUU was part of a coalition of stations that petitioned the FCC to deny GCI's station purchase in the first place. This is Brad Hilwig, marketing director at KTUU.
The concern has always been that they would leverage that distribution system, their cable operation, to squeeze out broadcasters.
Whether it's intentional or not, Hilwig says, that seems to be exactly what's happening.
You see then some of the things that were originally concerned about, perhaps taking shape now with GCI's move in cable or restricting access to Channel 2 on its cable systems, coinciding with its launch of its own news product.
GCI subsidiary Denali Media Holdings is in the process of launching a news program on KTVA in Anchorage to compete with KTUU's Channel 2 News. GCI's David Morris says the cable company will happily put Channel 2 News back on the air as soon as the companies sign a contract. For now, however, it's unclear when or if that will happen. But there's one thing on which everyone agrees.
It's changing times in Alaska media, and certainly there's more chapters to be written.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
And a sponsor of a proposal to raise the minimum wage in Alaska says the effort is on track to meet its signature gathering goal. Ed Flanagan says about 31,000 signatures have been collected thus far, with a goal of turning in about 43,000 signatures by January 17th. Just over 30,000 signatures are needed to qualify for next year's ballot, but qualified signatures must come from at least 7% of voters in at least 30 House districts. Flanagan says signature gatherers are still working to meet those requirements and would like some extra signatures as well in case there are duplicates. The initiative would increase Alaska's minimum wage from $7.75 an hour to $8.75 as of January 1, 2015, then $9.75 as of January 1, 2016. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. We're coming up on 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. Stay tuned for a live local interview at 8:18. I'll be speaking with Isaac Patinkin about the Hames Power Hour. That's coming up at 8:18 this morning, so stay tuned if you can. It's 36 degrees in downtown Sitka and raining lightly. You can expect rain today, becoming isolated rain showers a little later. Highs around 39 and north winds 5 miles per hour. It should be partly cloudy this evening, then become mostly cloudy with lows 29 to 35 and light winds becoming southeast 10 miles per hour late. And then tomorrow, expect a slight chance of rain in the morning, then rain is likely in the afternoon. Highs around 40 and southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Coming up on Raven Radio tomorrow, stay tuned at 4 o'clock for a Christmas and winter themed radio boogie. And then on Sunday at 11 a.m. From the Vault features an archived Fin and Feather interview with former Governor Jay Hammond. That's all coming up on Raven Radio. You can also check out our website, kcaw.org, for a complete program schedule, as well as community calendar, station highlights, and lots more wonderful stuff. That's kcaw.org. The San Francisco Symphony and Friends will present the Holiday Brass Concert tonight.